And thank you so much for being here this morning. And for those of you who are watching online, thank you for joining in as well. I invite you to please open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. This morning is a special service in the life of our church. As a church, we are going to be ordaining our student pastor, Matt Wooster. Matt's been with us now for about 2 years, and we've all grown to love Matt, and we're excited about this opportunity in his ministry and for his sweet wife, Molly, and their little boy, Kai. What is ordination? Ordination is a special act of a church, of a local church, whereby we are recognizing and dedicating formally a man called to an office in the church. So we are specially recognizing Matt Wooster this morning as a man called by God, and we're going to formally do that. And what we see in the New Testament, the way this formal recognition played out is that there was the laying on of hands, there was prayer over the individual, and there was also this extensive time of examination. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, Paul says this about the laying on of hands when it comes to this act. He says, "Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin." Here at Lakeland, we take ordination seriously, and we want to make sure we do it with the utmost integrity and responsibility. And we have done so with Matt Wooster. Matt has been with us, as I said, for 2 years. We have examined him and his character. We have examined him in his preaching and his teaching. We have come to know his heart for God and his heart for people, and we know that he is a pastor who is committed to the mission that Jesus Christ has given us and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And furthermore, Matt has sat through a time of formal examination with me, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Mitchell, and three of our deacons, Juan Carlos Martinez, Terry Cantwell, and Trey Ford. And during that time of examination, we have grilled Matt, so to speak, in all areas of his life, his personal life, his ethics, his philosophy of ministry, his views of pastoral ministry, and especially his doctrine. And Matt did so well during that time of examination. So let me tell you how this morning is going to look. I'm going to preach a charge to Matt, and there will be application to the congregation throughout this sermon. We'll have a response time, and then if you're a guest and you need to leave, you will be free to do so at that time. And then we're going to bring a chair forward. We're going to let Matt sit in that chair. Molly's going to stand behind him. Matt's ordination council is going to come forward. We're going to lay hands on him, and then we're going to invite our ordained deacons to also come forward, and we're going to pray a special prayer over Matt and ordain him to ministry this morning. So we're looking forward to that, and that's how it's going to look. Matt, my charge to you this morning comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. In the context of 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6, Paul is challenging Timothy to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. This charge reminds us that a pastor is ultimately a servant of Christ. This tells us who a pastor belongs to. It tells us who he ultimately serves and who he is to please. This adjective of being a good servant means to be praiseworthy, means to be excellent, Matt. Means to be good at what God has called you to in being a pastor. You're to be faithful in all of your ways to Jesus Christ. And in verses 11 through 16, Paul gives us several instructions that help just elaborate on what a good servant pastor of Jesus Christ looks like in action. And we're going to look at those in detail and make application this morning. So let's read the passage together, and then we'll examine it closely. Starting in chapter 4, verse 11 of 1 Timothy. "Prescribe and teach these things. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and in conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself an example of those who believe. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do, this will ensure your salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity in the life of our church, God, to be a part of this special time in Matt's life where we recognize his call to ministry and to set him aside in a formal way through ordination. God, you have called him. God, that is clear in his life. He knows Jesus Christ in a personal way, God, and you have raised him up to be a pastor in our church. God, we are thankful for Matt. And God, I pray that this challenge this morning from Paul to Timothy, God, will resonate with Matt's heart and God, with all of our hearts this morning when we think about it in application to our own lives. God, use this time to encourage us, to draw us to yourself, we pray in Jesus' matchless name, amen. A pastor should strive to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And what does that look like in action, Matt? First of all, a good servant pastor is one who leads with confidence. Look in verse 11. Paul says, prescribe and teach these things. These things refers to everything that Paul has given to Timothy in this letter that he is to pass on to the church at Ephesus where he is presiding as the church's leader and helping get everything into place and leadership in this church. The word prescribe here, it means to give orders. It means to direct. It means to command, to insist on something. The word teach, it means to instruct, to give instructions. Together, these two words, they carry an authoritative sense to them. Paul's reminding Timothy, Timothy, you're actually in an office. You're in a position of authority. We all need to remember that to be called to the office of the pastor, the elder, the overseer, three interchangeable terms for the same office, is to be called to a place of high responsibility, of oversight in the local church. Just because Timothy's called to a place of authority, it doesn't mean he's to be an authoritarian. It doesn't mean he's to be domineering. In fact, we see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, that Peter gives instructions to pastors not to lord it over to those who are entrusted to their charge. But what it does mean, when Paul says prescribe and teach these things, it means a pastor is to take his responsibility with all seriousness, and he is to lead with strength. He is to lead with courage. He's to lead with conviction. He's to lead with confidence. He is to have this vision of where God wants his people to go. And in God's strength and through God's means, he is to do whatever is necessary to get God's people where God wants them to be. Matt, there are some things that can be voted on in a church, but there are many things that are not up for debate. They are settled. Matt, God's word is settled, and it's not up for debate. All the days of your ministry, you take this book and you preach it with backbone because it is settled forever in heaven. Matt, God's gospel, it's settled, and it's not up for debate. There is one name that God has given us for all time by which men must be saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. In all of your ministry, you do what you can to point people to the truth of who Jesus is, what he did in dying for our sins and rising from the dead, and the hope that we have when we'll turn from sin and trust in Christ for salvation and forgiveness of our sins. Matt, God's mission is settled. It's not up for debate. We can have fun and we can fellowship and we can do activities that bring us together, but let's never lose sight that we are called to the mission to make disciples of all the nations, and we never lose sight of that primary focus. Matt, as a minister who is to prescribe and teach the things of God, that means we don't cower down when criticisms come. Whether they're inside the church or from outside of the church, we don't bow down when Satan attacks, but we lead and we preach with courage and with confidence. Someone once said, there's only one way to avoid criticism. Say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. Matt, just to be a leader, to be called up by God to lead, is to invite criticism into your life. But what God's calling us to do as pastors is to lead out and to do ultimately His will and to serve Him and to please Him ultimately. You say, Pastor Donald, how do I do that? Matt, to lead confidently in ministry. Every day of your life, submit yourself to your ultimate commander-in-chief. Remember, He's the chief shepherd. You're the under-shepherd. He's called you out. So every day you give your heart over to Christ and you tell Him that this is Matt Wooster reporting for duty, sir. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. And you keep the proper perspective on ministry leadership by giving your heart over to Jesus Christ. So what does this mean for us as a church? To think that a pastor is called to lead with confidence. I think we all just need to stop and realize that to be called to the office of the pastor is to realize God has put authoritative positions in place in the church. And what God wants us all to do in Hebrews that we see in chapter 13, verse 17, and this is a good word for us all to remember. Obey your leaders, verse 17 of chapter 13, and submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. So what God wants every church member to remember is that leaders have been put in place by Him for the good of the church. And as long as those leaders are leading towards the mission, preaching the gospel faithfully, and they're standing on the word of God, then you get behind those leaders. You follow those leaders where God wants you to go. And I encourage you to do that with Pastor Matt. He's proven himself to be a godly servant leader. All of you who are a part of his team in student ministry, his volunteers, all of our students who are a part of his ministry, he loves you, he cares about you, he wants God's will for your life. So get behind him and support him and go where God is taking us. A good servant leader, Matt, number two, he models the Christian life. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in verse 12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech and in conduct and in love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. When Paul says, let no man look down upon your youthfulness, the word youthfulness here refers to a person who's in the state of being youthful. Matt, there's nothing wrong with being a young pastor, because guess what? One day you're going to be an old pastor. You know, my heart kind of sunk this past year. I'm a part of the executive boards for the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, and I no longer get an invite to the Young Pastors Network. Do you know why? I've aged out now that I'm over 40. I mean, that 1 year has made all the difference. I'm no longer considered young enough to be a part of that Young Pastors Network. There's nothing wrong with being young. In fact, God delights in calling out, raising up, equipping, and using young people in ministry. Paul commands Timothy here. He says, Timothy, don't let anyone look down. Don't let them scorn you. Don't let them treat you with contempt. Don't let them despise you or make you think of yourself as having little value just because they're older or you're younger. Instead, what is Timothy supposed to do? He's to realize something. Timothy, it's not your physical age that matters most. What matters most is your spiritual maturity. That's what God's looking for, and that's what Paul tells Timothy to focus on. He says, but rather, model the Christian life for others. And Paul tells Timothy to model those outward traits and those inward traits, those qualities we can see and those qualities that God can see. He says, but rather in speech and in conduct. These are those outward qualities. Matt, you make sure in the way you speak, the manner you speak, the words you use, and the way you conduct yourself, you're showing other people what it looks like to be like Christ. And then he also says inwardly, you be real, Matt. He says in faith or in love. You love others and you love God, patterning for people to see what it looks like to be genuinely concerned and sincere in a love towards God and a love towards others. In faith, Show others what it looks like to trust God in the good times, the bad times, to lean in on God and to be dependent upon God and in purity. In all of your sexuality and all of your motives and all of your conduct, you be pure, a man who is true to God on the inside. I know 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 is an important verse in your life. As Paul tells others to imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Matt, your life should be lived in such a way that anyone could model what you're doing, pattern their life after you, and they're actually living a Christ-like life. Matt, we must live what we preach. We should never let our message be different from how we're living life. Imitate Christ in that way. And I challenge all of you to keep your eyes on Pastor Matt and model the Christian life that Matt is living. He's a godly young man. Look up to him on what it looks like to do ministry, to serve others, to share the gospel, to help others along in their way in the Christian life, and to deal with people, because he does it very well. Thirdly, Pastor Matt, a good servant, pastor, in verse 13, he devotes himself to the scriptures. He devotes himself to the scriptures. Paul says to Timothy, until I come, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. This word, give attention, it means to occupy oneself with something. It means apply yourself to a certain thing. Devote yourself in a way to something. Nothing in ministry, Matt, ought to take precedence over your devotion to the Word of God. I know that's hard for a lot of us to grip our minds around that, but for a pastor, his calling is to give priority to the Word of God. There's a pastor in our convention, H.B. Charles. He was interviewed recently on a podcast, and I was listening to the interview, and they were asking him various ministry questions. And one of the questions they asked H.B. Charles, they said, in light of all of the work in ministry and all the things that can pull you to the left and to the right, the things that can fill your day, how do you find time to read the Word of God and to study it and to write sermons and to draft them and to internalize them and then preach those sermons? And this is what H.B. Charles said. He said, he has to practice something that he calls intentional neglect. He could always fill his day up with so many things in ministry, but he has to prioritize and say, I can get to these things at some point, but I have to neglect them now so I can give attention to that which is more important. And he intentionally neglects other things so that he could spend time in the Word of God. I want to tell you, this stuck in my mind as a seminary student. Our teachers used to tell us, if you turn in something late, you get a zero for it. We're not going to show you grace. Now, some weren't always that strict, but some were. You're like, why can't we have some grace if some things are coming up in life? Because you guys are called to ministry, and your church is not going to understand when you get up in the pulpit on a Sunday morning and you don't have a sermon to preach. You see, you've got to prioritize the Word of God. Matt, I live by this principle. Before you go public with God's Word, you make sure you've been private with God's Word. You see, you can't lead where you're not going. You can't model what you're not living. You can't teach what you don't know. If you're going to help people grow, you've got to be growing yourself in God's Word. If you're going to teach others, you've got to be a student yourself. And the same is true for all of us as Christians. So let me ask you this morning, are you giving priority to the Word of God in your ministry? Remember that the high calling in a pastor's life is to be an example for the rest of the flock. One pastor has put it this way, the Word of God deserves our best. So let's ask ourselves that question this morning. Is the Word of God getting your best in your life? Are you setting aside that time to be in the Word, to read it, to understand it, and apply it to life? That's what God expects of all of us, especially of good servant pastors. Number four, Matt, a good servant pastor, he cultivates his spiritual gifts. Cultivates his spiritual gifts. Verse 14, Paul says, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. This word presbytery, it most likely is referring to a group of elders in a local church. And Paul is recalling a time where Timothy was singled out as a man called by God hands were laid upon the young man. There were promises, prayers spoken over his life as the Spirit had led that he was, in fact, a God-called servant. And Paul tells Timothy, there's no doubt about your calling. There's no doubt about your gifting, so don't neglect your gifts. This word neglect, it means don't be careless with what God's given you. In other words, don't be unconcerned about that. That gifting God's given you to lead the church, to preach the word, it is something we should value, and it's something that we should do our best to cultivate in our lives. Somebody has put it this way, don't let your spiritual gift go to waste. Many of you know our former executive pastor, Glenn Blancett, who was with us for several years and is retired. I had lunch with him the other day, and he's in the process of writing another book, and he's got some good stuff there, but I'll tell you what he said he was dreading. He's like, I'm dreading going back and rereading it and seeing all the work that still needs to be done. Matt, you've got some good tools in the toolbox. God's gifted you, but you're still a work under progress. God is still growing you. He's still teaching you. You want to still sharpen those tools as much as possible. So be that kind of pastor who reads, who seeks training, who listens to counsel, who takes risks, who gets experience, who asks questions. Keep growing using your spiritual gifts. That's a good word for all of us. All of us who are saved, all of us who know Christ, he's gifted us with spiritual gifts. We need to discover those gifts. Hey, we're here to help you find out how God's gifted you if you've not discovered your gifts yet. And then we want to develop them. We all need to understand that God is wanting to make us sharper and sharper and better and more useful for ministry. This is applicable not just to pastors, but to all of us. So let me encourage you to think about what you need to start doing to grow and to develop the gifts God has given you. Number five, a good servant pastor, Matt, he works hard in ministry. I love what Paul says here. He says, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. This word, to take pains, it means you be diligent. You attend carefully to what I've said. He says, be in them. I admit, you give your focus and attention to all of these commands that Paul gives to Timothy and all the other commands that we see given to pastors in the scriptures. Sermons don't prepare themselves. Leadership doesn't just happen. The hard conversations are easily avoided. You have to man up, so to speak, to have those. And what we are to do is to remember that others will see that we're in a progress too. Happening, that we're growing. We're not where we used to be. We're not everywhere that God wants us to be yet, but we are getting there. We have to put in the hard work of studying and witnessing and planning and communicating and preaching and teaching. I tell people all the time who are considering a call to ministry that ministry is no place for a lazy person. It's just not. Matt, don't be a lazy preacher. Don't be a lazy pastor. You give Jesus your very best. Immerse yourself in what he's called you to be. And then last of all, verse 16, the good servant pastor, he guards his life and he guards his ministry. Pay close attention to yourself, Timothy, and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation, both for yourself and for those who hear you. Paul gives Timothy this caution. It's a caution that so many pastors throughout the ages have disregarded, and they're no longer in ministry. He tells Timothy to pay attention. Timothy, you got to watch your conduct, you got to watch your heart. And you got to make sure you watch your teaching because a person can begin to drift. Those ministers who start out their call with Jesus serving, they're anchored by the word, that their hearts are turned over to Christ, but something happens along the way and they become untethered And they're no longer walking as closely with Jesus, and they're no longer as close to the Word of God. And when that happens, it can have detrimental consequences to the local church, to that individual's lives, and to the lives of others. And so Paul is telling Timothy, persevere in these things, in this book, all holiness, all commitments to Jesus, all efforts to retain sound doctrine and to be this kind of good servant pastor. Because look at the consequence, for as you do, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Now, let me clarify what this is not talking about. This is not some kind of a works-based salvation statement by Paul. He's not saying if you do these things, you'll earn salvation and others will too. That's not what he's saying. What Paul is indicating here is that when you have people who are called to ministry and they drift in their personal conduct and they drift in their commitment to the Word of God, it raises a lot of questions about where they're really at with Jesus Christ. It raises those questions. Was that person truly saved in the first place? Were they truly called? And then it raises all kinds of questions about the kind of people they've been raising up in ministry. And so Paul is saying, let's remove all doubt moving forward, and you decide right now and make clear, Timothy, that you are going to guard your life and you're going to guard your commitment to Scripture. Matt, in staff meetings, I've shared with you and the rest of the team, I can count person after person after person after person that I've graduated with from seminary, other men who were in ministry before I was that I looked up to who are no longer in ministry anymore because they didn't guard their lives. They committed some kind of sexual sin. They committed some kind of sin of greed. They become bitter, angry men in their hearts, that they drifted from sound doctrine, they were let go from their churches, the list goes on and on and on. You say, Pastor, how do I do that? Every day, Matt, this is a discipline of my heart. I ask Jesus to search my heart and to know it, to try me and know my ways and see if there's any evil way in me and to lead me in the ways that are everlasting. You want God's ways in your heart. You want to go God's direction. So our hearts are deceitful above all things. You and I have talked about this before. The heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it except God? And we want God to show us our heart so we can confess sin and to turn from it day in and day out. That's a good word for all of us, to guard our lives and to guard our commitment to Scripture. This morning be a good time for us all. Say, God, search me. Know my heart. Is there anything in my life where I begin to drift and I'm not as faithful to you? There's a sin that's beginning to grow in my heart and it's producing other fruit. God, I need to deal with that this morning. I encourage you to deal with it by confessing it to Christ, seeking his forgiveness and asking for his power to put that to death in your life. Matt, my desire for you as a pastor, when it's all said and done, Jesus Christ comes back, the wicked dead are judged, and the church of Jesus Christ dwells with him in the new heavens and the new earth. It's on that day of reckoning with Jesus, I want you to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I want for you. Give attention to these instructions that Paul gives to being what it means to be a good servant pastor. That's my desire for all of us. If you were to have a conversation with Pastor Matt, he would tell you that above the call to being a pastor, the call that matters most on his life was the call to be a follower of Jesus. He was a young man several years ago in his life when he heard the gospel. He realized he was a sinner separated from God and that there was a coming day of judgment and he was not going to fare well on that day of judgment. That our rebellion against God, because God's holy, means we can't dwell with him in eternity in heaven. But there's a place that God will punish all of those who have sinned against him. It's a place the Bible calls hell. But that God, who's rich in mercy and grace and love towards us, made a way for us to be restored to him, to be forgiven and to know true life. Matt heard that message about Jesus Christ. The Son of God, he came down from heaven, and he became a man, and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, stretching out his hands. His hands were nailed to that cross. His feet were nailed to that cross. And God the Father in heaven judged Jesus in our place, and he paid the penalty of death for us. He died and was put into the grave, and he arose triumphantly on the third day. And Matt placed his faith in Christ. He turned from his sin, and he embraced Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That's the most important calling on your life, Matt. It's the most important calling on my life. That's the most important calling on all of our lives, is to be good servants. And if you're here this morning and you've never made that decision, or you're watching and you've never made that decision, we want to help you enter into that forever relationship with the God who loves you so much that he gave up Jesus for you. If you're watching, you can text the word decision to the number at the bottom of the screen. And if you're here this morning, we're going to have a time for you to come forward, and we'll walk you through the gospel with a spiritual encourager. We want to do what we can to help you make that commitment as God desires for you to do so this morning. Would you please bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, what a good challenge you gave to Timothy. He was a young man. He had a lot of work before him in the church of Ephesus. But what he had going for him that was most important is he knew Jesus and he was God called. Father, we know that Matt knows you through Christ and he is a God called man. We're thankful that you sent him our way almost 2 years ago. And God, that we had this opportunity this morning as a church to recognize that calling and to celebrate it and to set him aside, God, through ordination. Lord, and I just pray that all of our hearts are tender this morning, knowing that you've called us all out in Christ to be set apart, to be used by you everywhere you have us scattered throughout the week. So may we say, I want to be a good servant, Lord. So do the work in my heart. Help me to give attention to the scriptures. Help me to take seriously the authority that has been placed over me. Help me to guard my life and my heart. Help me to work hard at becoming everything you want me to be. And help me to be that example for others of what it looks like to follow you in all faithfulness. God, we love you. Work in our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.